very interesting thing to talk about with you now.
Oh, we're going to talk about cabbage.
Good afternoon to you, Danny Valent.
Hi, Libby.
Oh, lovely to see you here.
Good to be here.
What made you pick cabbage as our conversational topic about food this afternoon?
Well, you know how sometimes you have a moment with an ingredient and you just sort of keep looking at it and thinking about what else can I do with it and just wanting to put it in everything?
Yeah. No, not with cabbage.
Yes, I'm like that with cabbage. It's so versatile. It's cheap. It's in season. And it's just really, really good.
What's the history of cabbage in cooking? Who loved it the most? And why am I playing this music for us to talk about cabbage?
Well, I can't speak for the music that you've chosen. But cabbage, I guess, originated in Europe. It was around in ancient times. And it spread all around the world. So it made its way to the Americas. It made its way through Asia. It came to Australia on the first fleet. So it is a part of the culture in most of the world now.
Has it got any kind of ancient folklore about it?
Yes, it does.
Ooh,
indeed.
Really?
So there was a Roman senator, Cato the Elder, who loved cabbage for its culinary uses, but also thought it had some medicinal use. One of his interesting pronouncements was that infants could be rinsed in the urine of cabbage eaters.
That's disgusting.
I know. So I certainly don't suggest that we rekindle those old habits.
Infants could be rinsed in the urine of cabbage eaters to achieve what end?
I am not sure, and I don't think it bears further investigation, but perhaps it was a particular type of cleanliness that was sought after. I'm not sure.
Is it seen as a cure for anything?
I mean, look, it's really high in vitamin C, so that did mean that it was carried on ships for long journeys because it was a great aid in the prevention of scurvy.
Mm. Captain Cook would have liked his cabbage.
Definitely. I think they're all munching on it.
Apparently it was also seen as an antidote to mushroom poisoning.
Yeah, now please don't rely on that if you are poisoned by mushrooms.
No, don't.
Please don't. So I think also some people thought it was a cure for drunkenness or it would stop you getting drunk because there's some sort of folklore about cabbage not growing near grapes. So I think they thought that schism meant that it would perhaps, mitigate the effects of fermented grape juice. But I'm not sure. That is one that I would be willing to test.
If you ate cabbage after being drunk to see. I thought that it was used as like a tapas thing, to tell you the truth, so that you ate cabbage in between your alcohol and that was part of the invention of tapas.
Ah, well, I don't.
You know, because you have little bits in between your alcohol so that
you've
got
a bit. And so you just have like a little shred of cabbage with your in between your
wine. I think you might have had to roll something up in the cabbage.
Yes, well, that's, I mean, see, even as we just, muse on the history of cabbage, we are thinking of many of the different ways that it can be enjoyed.
I think you better give us some surefire ways because I don't know whether what we're talking about is really going to cut the mustard anymore. You know, like putting it in between. Oh. Best way to eat cabbage, fried dim sims, is coming on the text. Steamed. Anyway.
A bit of fry, a bit of steam, it's all good. Look, I think it's important to talk about coleslaw because that is one of the key ways that people eat cabbage, especially in Australia.
Go on then.
But I think that for this summer, can we please not have warm, soggy, mayo-slathered coleslaw at our barbecues? Can we have a friskier coleslaw, perhaps with a little bit of a Vietnamese angle or Ooh. Something like that, with a bit of Vietnamese mint, maybe a bit of red cabbage along with the white cabbage. And, if you've got to use your mayo, maybe just a little bit, but let's put some lime juice in it. Let's make it more of a vinaigrette and just, lightly coat it with cabbage. I don't like that. I think if you can see the mayo dressing at the bottom of the bowl, then there's too much of it. And I think that is a bit of a barbecue faux pas.
I think that you're changing the way we do things.
I think. only a little bit and only for the better.
But potato salad and coleslaw, traditionally, don't they have to be slathered with egg mayo?
Well, do they have to be, Libby, or like, is it just the way we've gone because we just haven't thought it could be done otherwise? But look, I'm okay with potato being a little bit of a wetter salad. I mean, I made a potato salad the other day and I did do the slather, but my coleslaw, I want that cabbage to stay crunchy and I don't want the dressing to seep down to the bottom of the bowl.
Okay, so give me your version of a coleslaw with a Vietnamese skew. I do love a Vietnamese dressing, I have to say.
Okay, so it's on my website, dannyvalent.com. There's a peanut butter coleslaw. So peanut butter Vietnamese flavoured coleslaw.
What?
So I like to use red and white cabbage and a carrot. So just grate those all up and make a dressing with a little bit of peanut butter, some mirin, some lime juice. You can put a little bit of soy in it if you like.
Oh, the peanut butter would give the peanutty satay sort of.
Yes.
Wow, you're clever, aren't you?
It also helps, I suppose, to dress that salad and then put some chopped peanuts over the top just for a little bit of extra crunch.
And if you have a peanut allergy, of course, you can leave the peanut out, because the key flavours for the Vietnamese vinaigrette would be a sort of chili and lime, would they not?
Yeah, so definitely lime juice.
Danny wants to join the conversation. Danny, are you all right with that? Here we go. Hi, Danny.
Hi.
Have you got a recipe for coleslaw without mayo?
Yeah, it's Annie, actually.
Oh, Annie. Yeah, beg your pardon.
It's an American coleslaw that my mother gave me the recipe for, and it's got mustard seed and vinegar, a little bit of sugar and salt, brought to a boil, poured over shredded cabbage, and you just leave it overnight in the fridge. It's still crispy and crunchy. It tastes absolutely gorgeous.
What is it? Mustard?
Mustard seeds.
Yeah.
Cooked up in, well, I use half and half vinegar and water. I use cider vinegar. A little bit of sugar and salt.
Well, that sounds like you're pickling it.
Yeah, it's a light pickle. I love that.
It is. It's like a lightly pickled cabbage.
Beautiful.
And to a potato salad without a heavy mayonnaise, my mother-in-law did small new potatoes, cooked in their skins, cut in half, pureed green peas with mint.
Ooh.
And a little bit of yogurt or mayonnaise.
Ooh. Yeah, beautiful. Love it.
Really nice.
And I do love that cutting the potatoes in half, because they love to soak up the dressing, and that's just the way to make it happen.
Really good.
Perfect.
Thank you, Amy.
Bye.
How generous are you? Everyone's going to be going out
couple
and doing
of recipes.
That. Yeah, I like that mustard seedy one. And you can, of course, pickle the cabbage.
Well, this is cabbage's versatility. So I love pickled or fermented cabbage. I'm actually addicted to kimchi
moment.
Oh, don't you just want to put it on everything?
Yes.
So Korean style fermented cabbage, and it is so delicious. Make it nice and spicy. Kimchi and cheese toasty is my absolute favourite thing.
It's very good for the gut.
Very good for the gut. And I've also got another recipe on the front page of the website. Check that out, for Okonomi Kimchi. So Japanese cabbage pancakes with kimchi stirred through them. And they are so good.
I want you to come to my place and cook.
I'm happy to.
That would be good. Oh, I'm glad we got that sorted. it's interesting because, well, here's a nice little text message. And I'm going to ask you in the audience if you know the answer to this. Leaves on breasts for mastitis. I mean, that's a non-edible form of using the cabbage leaf. But I'm here to say that when I had my children, as an overachiever, I could have fed the world on day three after having my children. And the cabbage leaves were the only things that could soothe.
Because they were nice and cool, and just that cup, that beautiful cup shape.
I reckon there's something else to it as well, though. So if you're a midwife and you know why the cabbage works on swollen breasts after childbirth, 1-300-222-774. In fact, if you've got a favourite cabbage recipe, you're most welcome to call. In fact, we like the calls better than the texts. So give us a bell, 1-300-222-774. The cabbage rolls.
Yes. Oh, I love cabbage rolls. So there's so many different varieties, but for example, Sarma, a Turkish style cabbage roll with spiced rice inside it. And one of Melbourne's best cabbage rolls is served at Abla's. So I think it's one of the dishes that really made Melbourne. The beautiful lamb, rice, a little bit of onion, a little bit of herb in the cabbage rolls at Abla's in Carlton. Just a classic Melbourne dish.
What is the key to wrapping the cabbage roll?
So you need to blanch the leaves so they're nice and soft, and you can get a little bit of purchase, I suppose, as you roll them up, and then just to tuck in the ends. So don't try to overstuff. I suppose with any of those, you know, whether it's a burrito or a sushi, you do not want to, you know, eyes bigger than tummy does not work when you're rolling things up. Just judicious with the fillings.
But do you need to take the spine out of the cabbage leaf? Because you know how it's got a stiff kind of spine?
Sure, yes. So if you are using a bit where it's got that large stem portion, then do trim that out.
1-300-222-774. Do you like cabbage? Danny Valent is your guest, eater, writer and cook. We've talked about pickling cabbage, fermenting it with kimchi. Do you have a quick way of doing the kimchi?
I don't think it takes, I mean, the thing that takes long is the fermenting itself. Actually putting it together doesn't take that long. So I love a recipe from the fermentary, Sharon Flynn, a Melbourne girl who does an amazing job, and I use her recipe. So basically I use wombok, so a Chinese cabbage, shred that finely, salt it just to get some of the moisture out, and then just jumble it up with other veg that you, like maybe a nashi pear, maybe some carrots, some spring onion.
In the kimchi.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you don't have to, but you can. And, yeah, and then you need to have the gochugaru, which is the Korean chili powder, which you can get at an Asian grocer. So right. Do not be intimidated by that strange-sounding ingredient. Go to your nearest Asian grocer to get the Korean chili powder, and it just has that beautiful, warm spiciness that works so well in kimchi. Then it's just a matter of, with some salt, a little bit of sugar, a bit of soy, a bit of fish sauce, stuff it into a jar and just wait, and time will do its work.
How much time?
As the weather warms up, it will take less time. So just leave it on the kitchen bench in a jar with just a lid just popped on it, not secured. It'll take 3 or 4 days. You'll start to see some bubbles. But the thing with kimchi and any of those fermented products is that you can create them to your own taste. So the longer you leave them, the funkier they'll get. If you just like it lightly funked, pop it in the fridge and that process will slow down.
The thing about cabbage is it's very empty of calorie, like in terms of calorific content. Well, nothing.
There's that 70s cabbage soup diet, isn't there?
Yeah.
It's all predicated on that.
Yeah.
Actually, I think I remember my mum doing that and the whole house smelled of cabbage for a week.
Did she do the cabbage soup? No, that was the Israeli army diet, which was 2 days apples, 2 days cheese, 2 days something.
Yeah, don't recall that one, but maybe because it wasn't as odoriferous.
Yes, as the smelly cabbage diet. Best coleslaw dressing has come through. Caller recommends making mayo with condensed milk.
Wow.
Equal parts lemon juice or vinegar.
Okay.
Condensed milk, not sweetened condensed milk, condensed milk.
Well, it would be sweet. So I guess you are getting a bit of sweetness.
I'm thinking about evaporated milk. Condensed milk is sweet.
Yeah. Yeah.
And stir and let it sit for about an hour. That's interesting.
It's great. Sounds like, you know, isn't it great? You know, you just think of all those salads turning up to barbecues and everyone's got their little twist on it. And, I think that's part of the glory of sharing food.
Here's another one. Best coleslaw dressing is a bit of salt, extra virgin olive oil and white wine vinegar and caraway seeds.
Oh, well, yes. I mean, going back to those Central European cabbage climes, then yes, caraway seeds, definitely a key ingredient there.
Interesting, isn't it, though? Because cabbages can be really good value for money, like they're big.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, if you're making your Japanese pancakes, for example, you can feed 10 for about $5.
Wow.
Yeah. So there are a really good economical ingredient. And there have been various slurs on cabbage over the centuries with people saying, oh, those peasants, they just eat cabbage. But, you know, they're pretty healthy on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with being a peasant.
Definitely not. And can we have just a moment, Libby, of talking about the best named dish in the world?
Yes, please.
Rumbledy thumps.
I was going to ask you about rumbledy thumps. What on earth are rumbledy thumps?
Can we just say rumbledy thumps a couple more times?
We'll all say it together right around Melbourne.
Rumbledy thumps.
What on earth are they? What is it?
It's a Scottish version of bubble and squeak. So bubble and squeak, like potato and cabbage, or in Ireland you'd be talking col canon. So
isn't it leftovers, bubble and squeak, leftovers?
Yes, so it can be leftovers or you can make it from scratch just because you love it. So basically mashed up potato, cabbage, cooked up, and the rumbledy thumps version of it is baked in the oven, I think usually under a cheesy crust. So just comfort food plus with a name to beat all other names.
I'd like some rumbledy thumps. Thanks, Mummy. Frank's called. Hi, Frank.
Hello.
I'm glad you called.
I just wanted to give you our cabbage salad recipe. We used to, I had it growing up as a kid and I still make it now. We just shred the cabbage, a fresh cabbage.
Mm-hmm.
And then we add extra virgin olive oil.
Mm-hmm.
And we mix up a vinaigrette of white wine vinegar, or can be any vinegar, but we usually use white wine vinegar, half water, some salt and cracked pepper, and just pour it on and mix it up, and that's it. And we have it. Oh, and the juice of a lemon as well.
Yum.
And that's how we had it.
It sounds really good.
Absolutely beautiful. And it's good the next day. That actually tastes better the next day if you leave it in the fridge.
Yeah, that's what we like. We like stuff that tastes better the next day.
Absolutely.
Good at the start and better the next day. Thank you, Frank.
No worries.
I have to go home and do it. I know that a segment's got me when I start salivating just by doing.
Who thought that would happen with cabbage?
Rumbledy thumps. Rumbledy thumps. Mariam's called in from. Ah, oh, it might be Mariam. Hello, Mariam. Let me just get. There you are. Is that Mariam?
Yes. My son-in-law's Guinness pie he made a while back was so delicious. So he made the Guinness with the meats and whatever and the Guinness. Then he did mashed potato. Then he chopped up cabbage, you know, shredded it with some shallots. No, not shallots. The long, skinny onions, you know.
Spring onions.
And fried the spring onions and fried those lightly in the pan or just tossed those lightly in the pan. Mixed that through the mashed potato and then put some grated cheese on the top and put it in the oven. And it was so delicious because the cabbage gave it that crunch as well.
Well, it's a bit of the rumbledy thumps about that one, Mariam, I think.
It was unbelievable. I'm telling you, when you started talking cabbage, I couldn't stop thinking about it. Beginner's pie.
Yum.
We're all going to be thinking about cabbage today.
Yes, so there you go. All right.
Thanks, Mariam. Bye. Thanks for calling in. Chinese cuisine too involves cabbage?
Oh, absolutely. So cabbage is a key ingredient in a lot of different stir fries. So often you'd be thinking about a wombok, so a Chinese style cabbage, but perhaps second cousin to the Savoy cabbages or the green cabbages that we, the more European style. But yeah, really beautiful. Beautiful with tofu, beautiful steamed, beautiful wok fried.
Beautiful. Well, Danny, thank you so much for coming in and setting Melbourne alight, salivating about the cabbage. It's been so lovely having this conversation.
It's great to fulfil my mission.
Your website again?
DannyValent.com.
V-A-L-E-N-T for those of you that are asking. I cannot believe that we've got Melbourne falling over itself to go and buy cabbage.
It's the best.
Thanks, Danny.